New Year's Day, 2025. New Year's Day. We're all starting with a clean sheet for the new year. We can write on it what we choose. And some things that we choose to write on the sheet of the new year is not all that pleasant. But if we go into the new year understanding who we are in Christ Jesus and who Christ Jesus is, who our Heavenly Father is, that He sits on His throne. He is God from eternity past. He is God in this present day. And He is God for eternity future. Those of us who know Christ as our Savior will be joining Him. Some will be joining Him this year. We don't know when we're going to go. It really doesn't matter so much when we go. What matters is, are we ready to go when it's time to go? Jesus, the Christ, who went to the cross and took the sins upon Himself of all who would believe and who would receive, and hanging on that cross, He cried out, my God, why have You forsaken Me? Because in that moment in time, in eternity, God the Father could not look upon God the Son, because God the Son had become everything that God hates. He had become sin and took upon Himself the sin of each and every individual who would believe, receive Him as Lord and Savior. It's a new day, folks. It's a new year. We can write on it what we will, but that doesn't change the fact that God is on His throne. God is omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent.
Well, before we go any further and before we get into the message, let's prepare our hearts to receive the truth of the Word of God. And this song, Our God Reigns. Never lose sight of that in all this new year. Our God Reigns. Here's the song, then we'll get into the message.
Announcing peace, proclaiming news of happiness. Our God reigns. Our God reigns. God loves us so. See here His hands, His feet, His side. Yes, we know He is alive.
Our God.
So I want you just to get your Bible, if you could. Come along with me. We're going to go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13 to start. But first, let's go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, I'm at the microphone, and you know the way that the enemy has opposed me in doing this, and I have to believe it is because you really want it done. I'm simply going to try to share with the people today, Lord, what you shared with me to share with them. And I'm asking you to anoint me to deliver this in such a way that they can appreciate it, understand it, and be encouraged, Father God. And Lord, there may be some listening to this today who do not know you as Lord and Savior. They may be religious, but lost. I'm going to ask you in some way to use the message to open the heart and the eyes of those individuals, that they might better understand and comprehend what it means to be born again, and the process of being born again, and then what happens as we are born again when we're sanctified and have to come through the process of sanctification. Father, you've got some people today that need some encouragement. You've got some people facing some uncertain medical situations. You've got some people who are experiencing some financial difficulties. You've got others who are experiencing relational difficulties. But Father, help them understand that in it all and through it all, you are at work. Nothing that we go through catches you by surprise. Nothing that we experience ever caught you by surprise. Help us to better understand your omnipotence, your sovereignty, and your love and your care for us. And Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to anoint me to teach this in such a way that in this coming year, the people who have received it will be encouraged, strengthened, and better equipped to face the new year. And this I ask in Christ Jesus' name. Then all of God's people said, amen and amen. I've entitled this Sanctification, the Process. I want to start reading 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. But we're bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Don't let what Paul is saying there to the church at Thessalonica escape you. Let's do it again. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. When was the beginning? When was the beginning? God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. The beginning? Before God had ever created anything. Before God had ever created anything, he knew who would and who would not be willing to receive salvation. Receive the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ Jesus as the payment for their sins. Accept that payment. Receive that truth. Be born again and become a new creation in Christ Jesus. Then we come to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2. Elect? Elect? Who are the elect? It tells us right here. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience, and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. Elect? Who are the elect? I've covered this in recent weeks, trying to help you better understand and get a grip on who you are in Christ Jesus. Who are the elect? The Word of God says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, within that group, just defined, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Within that group are those that God knew before the foundation of the world who would and who would not call on him to be saved. God knew that. We're not talking about being just religious. We're not talking about being just a part of some religious organization or practice. No. We're talking about a personal, experiential relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And you enter into that experiential relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ when you are born again. And you're born again when you truly receive the gospel. You don't put your faith and your trust in any system of religion. You don't put your faith and your trust in any individual. You put your faith and your trust in Christ Jesus and Christ Jesus alone. Now, once you have come to Christ and you admit, I'm a sinner, Lord, I'm a sinner. I want to be born again. I want my sins forgiven. I want my past forgotten. I want all of my sins to be put to death in Christ Jesus. I want the blood of Christ to cleanse me from my sins. I'm not depending on any religious movement. I'm not depending on any denomination. I'm depending on Christ. Christ alone. Christ crucified. Christ resurrected. I'm depending on Christ and Christ Jesus alone. Now, once you reach that point, and I'm talking to some people today, you need to start this new year out by coming to Christ and say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I may be religious, involved in religious activity, but I'm a sinner. I want to be born again. Because Jesus, you told Nicodemus, you must be born again. Oh, Nicodemus was religious. He was religious, but he was missing it. And Jesus said it straight. Jesus simply said to Nicodemus, Nicodemus, you must be born again. In other words, you have to become a new creation. You have to become a new creature. And you become that new creature, Nicodemus, when you understand that I, Jesus, am the Messiah. And you, in childlike faith, trust me, come to me, say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I want to be born again. I want to be adopted into the family of God. That was how Jesus was explaining it to Nicodemus, and that's the way I'm explaining it to you. Now, once you're born again, and I'd like to think that most of you that I'm talking to today are born again. No doubt there's some in the radio congregation who are not born again. Religious? Yes. Involved in religious activity? Yes. Born again? New creation? New creature in Christ? No. So let's just go into it this way. Number one, you must be born again. You must be born again. As Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. Now, once you are born again, now you enter into the process of sanctification. And in this message, I want to help define sanctification for you. And I'm going to cut across the grain of what some of you have thought sanctification was, what some of you think that sanctification is. Understand this. Sanctification is not a quick fix. No, it's not a quick fix. But in order to enter into the process of sanctification, you must first be born again. So understand this, that once you are born again, sanctification is that process by which you become increasingly more Christ-like. You say, well, Bob, I know that. I got it down. I understand it. Do you really? Do you really understand it? Let me ask you this. How much like Christ are you? How much like Jesus Christ are you? Do you often find yourself making responses that are un-Christ-like? Have you ever taken into consideration how often our responses to life are unchristlike? Our responses to situations and circumstances and even other people are unchristlike. You see, our reactions are not always Christ-like, are they? No doubt many of you in the last 24 hours have responded and reacted to a situation, a comment, a circumstance that was anything but Christ-like. So we have to be honest with God and honest with ourselves and recognize that not all of our reactions are always Christ-like. No, they're not. I think that shows up many times in the lives of some people in traffic situations, but it can show up in an office situation as well, not to mention in a family situation, even with people that you love, people you respect, people you love. You can go at them with an un-Christ-like response. That, my friend, is a part of what we're talking about. Our reactions to individuals, situations, and circumstances are not always Christ-like. And then, nor are our responses. Many times our responses are not always Christ-like, are they? I dare say that in the last 24 to 48 hours, you responded to a couple of things that were totally un-Christ-like. It may have been in frustration. It may have been in anger. For whatever reason, but most likely, most of us in the last 48 hours have, in one way or another, reacted to a situation that was unchristlike in our reaction, or responded to a situation that was not Christ-like in our response, even towards those we love. We've done that, haven't we? Even to those we love. And you know, let me say this to you. Sometimes rather than respond to that which has offended you, that which has touched you, angered you, whatever it may be, sometimes you just need to be silent. Not respond. Don't respond. Don't react. Silence can speak volumes. Did you hear me? Silence can speak volumes. And sometimes you'd be well to remain silent. Once it's said, you can't take it back. Once it's said, you cannot remove it from that other person's memory. So once it is said, it's there. It's embedded. It's imprinted. And you cannot take it back. And that is why I say to you that sometimes silence can speak volumes. Sometimes just remain silent. You don't have to respond and react to anything and everything that someone else does. You don't have to. You can just agree. I am not going to react. I'm not going to respond. When I say agree, agree with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, if you will anoint me, if you will anoint me, if you will empower me, enable me not to respond. I've got a bad habit of responding. I react and I respond. Some of you need to say that to yourself and to God. I know that a lot of my reactions are not Christ-like. I know that a lot of my responses are not Christ-like. But Holy Spirit, if you will help me, if you will help me restrict and restrain myself so that I can bring everything under your Lordship, in submission to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And sometimes that means you don't respond. You don't react. As I said a moment ago, silence can speak volumes. And sometimes, trust me, there's been so many times I look back across my life, I wish I'd have just remained silent. I wish I had remained silent. Sometimes it's best to remain silent. You say, well, how long should I remain silent? Till the storm passes by. That storm of emotional anger, whatever it may be, frustration, whatever it may be, you've been accosted, you've been insulted, you have been in some way demeaned, and yet you decide, I'm going to remain silent. I'm not going to react to that. I'm not going to ponder that. I'm just going to remain silent till the storm passes by. Then, if the Holy Spirit allows, in a quiet moment, at another time, in God's timing, I may mention the situation, the circumstance, but until then, I'm going to remain silent. But you know, while you're remaining silent, you can practice prayer in silence. You don't have to be praying out loud. You don't have to run off and find a quiet, solitary place to fall on your knees and pray. No, you can pray while you're doing whatever you're doing. You can pray while you're doing what you're doing. You can continue to do what you're doing while you're praying. The other person doesn't even have to know that you're praying. You don't have to make a show of it. You just go to the throne of God, your Heavenly Father. And you can say to Him, Lord, Father, I take offense at what was just said. I take offense at what was just done. I take offense at the attitude that just confronted me. But I refuse. Jesus, you stood there, them accusing you, beating you, bruising you, cursing you, making all sorts of allegations about you, but you never responded. You remained solemn. And you may say to the Lord, Father, I need that attribute in my life. I need the attribute to remain solemn, even when I'm angered, even when I'm hurt, even when I have been put upon. I need the anointing to remain silent. What I want to do as we come through this, I want to look at several scriptures that support the point I'm making. As I said going into this, sanctification is a process. Now, if you are born again, I didn't say if you're religious. I didn't say if you're a church member. I didn't say if you're teaching a Sunday school class or singing in the choir or serving as an elder or deacon or something, because we have people in each of those categories who are not born again. I've been around church long enough to know. I've been around church long enough to know that not all who feel a capacity in the church, not all who feel a position in the church, have been born again. So sanctification is that process. It's a process of becoming Christ-like. Are you ready for this? Are you ready for this? Have you got your ears on? It is a process of becoming Christ-like in all the events of life. Did you hear me? All the events of life. Those that are pleasant, those that are unpleasant, those that are confrontational. It is a process of becoming. Sanctification is a process of becoming Christ-like in all the events of life. But to do that, you've got to die to self. You have to die to self. You've got to say to the Lord, I want to die to self. I'm willing to die to self. I need your enablement and your empowerment to die to self, because I don't want to respond. I don't want to react in an unchristlike way. So this process of becoming Christ-like in every single solitary event in your life is not always easy. The Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, wholly, I mean completely. And the very God of peace sanctify you completely, fully, totally, completely, wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Did you get that? Listen to the magnitude of that verse. Listen to the substance of that verse. Listen to what Paul is saying to the church at Thessalonica and to you and to me. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, wholly, wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He was praying for them. that they would be Christ-like, if you will, in every aspect of their life until the coming of Christ. I have no doubt that Paul the Apostle understood deeply the process of sanctification. Recall that Paul was a Pharisee. He was a Pharisee of some standing. And as a Pharisee, he had been involved in persecuting and prosecuting the church, hauling them off to prison and to whatever their fate may hold. He was totally, totally against Christians. And he was persecuting them, prosecuting them. Then on the road to Damascus, he had a supernatural confrontation with the Lord Jesus Christ. And after that confrontation with the Lord Jesus Christ, once he kind of got sorted out in a few days, Paul went off the scene. He spent some 3 years, as best we can determine, alone with the Lord. He had to go back and re-examine everything he had been taught. He had to go back and re-examine everything he had taught. He had to come to grips with the reality of Christ Jesus. Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus, the Messiah. No other name given under heaven whereby men may be saved. No other name. Paul was having to come to grips with so much truth that heretofore he had ignored. He had ignored that truth, denied that truth. But after that confrontation with the Lord Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, he was a changed man, and he had to come to grips with the truth. Once again now, the process of sanctification begins when one is born again. When was Paul the Apostle born again? On the road to Damascus. Now remember, he was 3 days without sight. Don't you know that in those 3 days without sight, how he must have poured out his heart before God? How he must have apologized to God? And he was awaiting, of course, God is going to send the man to lay hands on him, pray for him, and restore his sight. But 3 days, that had to be the longest 3 days and three nights in the life of Paul the Apostle. Because 3 days and three nights, he's having to come to grips with the fact that he has had a one-on-one encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. So understand this. Sanctification, which Paul is writing about so strongly, the process of sanctification begins when one is born again. It began in his life when he was born again. Up until that time, oh, he was religious. He was very, very, very religious. He just wasn't spiritual. He wasn't born again. He wasn't a child of God, and I'm talking to people today. You are religious. Oh, you are so religious, but you're not a child of God. And if your heart quits beating in the next 5 minutes without Christ, your doom would be sealed in hell forever. No. Paul, as religious as he was, as involved in the religious movement of the Pharisees as he was, persecuting the church, persecuting the Christians, once he came to grips with Jesus, once he met Jesus on the road to Damascus, and after that 3 days, and then after that 3 days of blindness, can you imagine what he must have been pouring out his heart in those 3 days? Can you imagine? No, we can't. We cannot imagine what was going on in that man's life during that time. Now, have to understand this. The process of sanctification begins when one is born again. And sometimes sanctification begins in a moment of time. The moment one is born again. But sometimes it is a progressive coming to the knowledge of truth. You see, you can't be sanctified until you're set apart. And you can't be set apart for God until you're born again. So sometimes, and understand this, the moment that you come to Christ as your Lord and your Savior, the moment you recognize yourself as a sinner, the moment you recognize Jesus Christ as the Messiah, God in the flesh, and the very moment that you confess to Him, I'm a sinner, I am a sinner, I want to be born again, I want to be a child of God. At that moment, the moment you are born again, sanctification becomes a progressive, ongoing ministry of the Holy Spirit of God in your life. With that progressive, ongoing movement of God in your life, there's a progressive spiritual illumination and understanding. That is why you give yourself to study the Word of God. That is why you spend time in the Word of God. That's why you spend time in those environments where you can be taught the Word of God, because it is progressive spiritual illumination. You have to have, listen, you come into the family of God as an infant. As a spiritual infant, you come into the family of God. And there are levels and stages of spiritual growth that you're going to have to come through to reach maturity in Christ Jesus, if you ever reach maturity in Christ Jesus. But it is a progressive spiritual illumination and understanding. Now, sometimes this progressive spiritual illumination and understanding is a process leading to the time one is going to be born again. One sometimes comes through a process of spiritual illumination and understanding that is culminated when one is born again. And then the process of sanctification becomes a lifestyle, becomes a part of the being. It is that which one must come through in order to become increasingly more like Christ. So when one is born again, once one is born again, if you have been born again, you have been adopted into the family of God. If you've been born again, you have been adopted into the family of God. What is the family of God? What comprises the family of God? The family of God is made up of every individual who has ever been born again, regardless of their race, regardless of the language they speak, regardless of where they're located in the world, geographically. When one comes to Christ, whether it's in a deep, deep jungle setting, or whether it's in a metropolitan church, whatever it may be, wherever it may be, if it's in a small Bible study, wherever it may be, the minute that one crosses the line from death unto life, the minute one becomes born again, they are then adopted into the family of God. They are a child of God. They are adopted into the family of God. And now, you see, sanctification cannot really begin until one is born again. When one is born again, then you enter into the process of sanctification. What is sanctification? Once again, we have to understand what sanctification is. Sanctification is becoming increasingly Christ-like. And you cannot become increasingly Christ-like until you are born again and become one with Christ. Until that time, you may be as religious can be, but you are not in a process of sanctification. We have so many people who are involved in a religious process, and yet they are not involved in a process of sanctification. What is sanctification, once again? It is a process by which those who have been born again become increasingly, did you hear me? Increasingly more Christ-like. Increasingly. And as you become, and as one who has been born again, becomes increasingly more Christ-like, get ready for this. Put on your listening ears. It is as one starts down the path, the road, if you will, of becoming increasingly more Christ-like, that's the process through which the remnants of bondage are destroyed. We all came into the kingdom of God with our baggage. And yes, most, if not most of all, who came into the kingdom of God, received Christ as their Savior, were born again, came into the kingdom of God in bondage. Bondage to ungodly habits. Bondage to ungodly practices. Bondage to ungodly lifestyles. Bondage to ungodly thought processes. And the list goes on and on and on. Folks, you have to understand, When you were born again, you came out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. You came out of Satan's family into the household of God. Before you were born again, you were a child of the devil. And the works of the devil you would do. And the works of the devil you did do. And the dispositions and the attitudes and the reactions and the responses of the devil you would do and you did do. Now, once you're born again, now begins the process of sanctification. And here again, understand this truth. Please hear this. That is when the remnants of bondage, because you came into the kingdom of God with some remnants of bondage in your life. You came into the kingdom of God with some remnants of bondage in your life. And it's through the process of sanctification that those remnants of bondage are destroyed. If you will take the time to slow down and just sit down and get before the Lord and say to the Holy Spirit, I know some areas where I'm in bondage. This practice, this habit, that habit, I am in bondage. I want to be free. But Holy Spirit, I want you to show me areas that I haven't even considered yet where I'm in bondage. It may be to attitudes. It may be to reactions to life. It may be to responses in life, whatever it may be. Holy Spirit, I want to know my areas of bondage because I want to come before you. And folks, it's a process. It's a process. Some of you are going to come through weeks, months, and sometimes years coming out of specific areas of bondage. Attitudinal bondage, reaction bondage, response bondage, any number of types of bondage. Then there are bondage of just flat out bondage to lust, deceitfulness, lying, cheating, stealing, drugs, alcohol, pornography, name it. Name your own. You came into the kingdom of light out of the kingdom of darkness. You came out of the family of Satan into the family of God. But you came in as an infant. And so much of the church does not understand that spiritual truth. You came into the kingdom of God, into the family of God, as a spiritual infant. And friend, there's a lot of growing to be done. There's a lot of growing to be done. There are strongholds in the life that have to be destroyed. I don't positionalize too strongly on this, but yet I see it in the scripture. The sins of the fathers. The ancestral sins of the fathers. I'm not through working with all that yet, but I've been working on it for some years. Some theological themes are so deep, it just requires a lot of time and attention and prayer and study. But here's the key. As you come through the process by which you become increasingly more Christ-like, that means all the stuff that you brought into the kingdom of God, yes, you were forgiven. Yes, you were born again in a heartbeat. Yes, you were forgiven. Yes, your past is forgiven. But you brought remnants of that pre-conversion life into the family of God with you. And those remnants of that pre-conversion life, remnants of bondage, have to be identified, have to be faced, have to be confessed, have to be forsaken. So understand that. Every single sin that you had in your life, that was a stronghold in your life, and you can name your own stronghold, you know yourself. Was it lying? Was it hypocrisy? Was it deceitfulness? Was it pride? Was it anger? Was it temper? Was it jealousy? Name your own. Drugs, alcohol, gambling, pornography, whatever it may have been. Examine your life. Be honest with yourself, with God, and be willing to admit this was bondage in my life. And this is the remnants of that bondage are still here, and I've got to face them, come to grips with it, and I've got to consistently stand against that. I've got to take it before the throne of God. I've got to call down the power of the Holy Spirit of God to cleanse me, free me, heal me of this bondage. You need to define the remnants of bondage in your own life. I've done this. I know what I'm talking about. I had to do this. And you need to do this as well. You need to look at each and every sin that had and has a stronghold in your life. Did you hear me? Take a look. Look at every single solitary sin that has a stronghold in your life, or that had a stronghold in your life, and are you really truly free of it? Are you really truly free of it? You're coming into a new year. Why not make this a year of victory? Why not make this a year of overcoming all the stuff that you've allowed the Satan to sow into your life? Examine each and every stronghold in the life. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, Paul is writing to the church. Paul is writing to the church at Corinth. He's writing to you. He's writing to me. He's writing to the church at Corinth. 1 Corinthians 6, 9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And, verse 11, such were some of you. Such were some of you. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You've been justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Don't let verse 11 escape you. And such, he's talking to the church. And look at the list of things he just listed. He says, such were some of you. But you've been washed, yes? As a believer priest, as a child of God, the blood of Christ has cleansed you from your sin. But you brought remnants of that old life into the new life, and that is the process of sanctification. But you're washed, you were sanctified, but you were justified. You see, when you come to Christ and you're born again, and now you enter into the process of sanctification. Now notice this, sanctification is a twofold thing. Number one, you are set apart for God. As one born again, sanctified, you are set apart for God. But now, as one sanctified, as one set apart for God, you must come through the process of sanctification in which and by which and through which you become increasingly Christ-like in everything you say, everything you are, everything you do. And understand this, sanctification is a lifelong process. Trust me, I know what I'm talking about. It's in the Word, I've lived it. But sanctification begins when one is born again. When one is born again, that is when sanctification begins. But it's a continuing activity. And that's where some of you have failed. You fail to understand. You get mad at God. You get upset with yourself. You don't understand the process of sanctification. There's so much in your life that was in your life when you came to Christ, and remnants of that are still in your life. And that has got to be recognized. That's got to be dealt with in order if you're going to walk in victory, peace, love, and joy. Once I admit that there's much about me that has yet to be conformed to Christ's likeness, I'm on the road to recovery. What's true of me is true of you. Once we admit that there's much about us that has yet to be conformed to Christ's likeness, how much of your life, what kind of responses in your life, what kind of reactions in your life, what kind of practices, habits in your life are unchristlike? In your speech, in your thought life, in your responses, reactions, the way you respond and react to others, the way you handle difficulty, the way you handle any number of things, the way you handle the situations in life. You're going to run across different situations in life every day of your life. And guess what? All of that is part of the process of cleansing you, getting you ready for glory, because it, as you come to grips with those things in your life, once you recognize and you come to grips with those things in your life, then you can go to battle with them. And understand this, this is going to take a breath if you're not careful. You'd be surprised how many ungodly activities how many ungodly attitudes in the life of believers are themselves, those attitudes and those actions, those reactions, are manifestations of an unclean spirit. Yes, of an unclean spirit that is operating in and through the life until it is recognized. I recognize you for what you are. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. You know, it's not wrong when you realize you have responded and reacted improperly in an unchristlike manner. It's not wrong to say, in the name of Jesus, I confess that is sin, and I rebuke the spirit behind the sin. Hello? Hello? You can do that. You have authority. And listen, was not Jesus tempted? He just didn't give in. Was Peter tempted? Yes, he failed. Child, understand this. Christians are under attack. If you pose a threat to hell, you are under attack. And I hope you do pose a threat to hell. But understand this. If you pose a threat to hell, you're under attack. And he's going to use every situation, circumstance he can to elicit some kind of ungodly reaction or response from you. And then you're going to say, where did that come from? Where did that reaction come from? Where did that response come from? I'll tell you where it came from. You, my friend, were under attack. You were under attack, and you gave in to the attack. You see, once I admit there's much about me that has to be conformed to Christ's likeness, and I recognize that. To this day, after all these years in ministry, I recognize from time to time that attitude was not Christ-like. That thought was not Christ-like. What does the Word of God say about your thought life? Does it not say taking every thought captive? Does it not? Does not the Word of God say taking every thought captive? Do you do that? You're not doing that? Then you're not taking every thought captive? Then you're saying you're in disobedience? When was the last time you went to the Lord and said, Father, I want to confess my disobedience. I want to confess my disobedience. The Word of God says if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. You are going to sin. You're going to sin every day of your life. But become sin sensitive. Become sin conscious. And when you do sin, recognize you've sinned and take it to the Lord in confession. Listen, this whole idea of being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, it's a lifelong process. Whether it's in the pulpit or whether it's in the pew, it's a lifelong process. Every child of God is having to come through the process. And it is a spiritual reality. Understand that. It is a spiritual reality. Sometimes it takes pressure to reveal the presence of the bondage. You might not recognize that you are in bondage in some areas unless the Lord allows a certain amount of pressure to be applied in your life that reveals to you, wait a minute, my reaction there was ungodly. My response there was ungodly. That is still a part of my life. That's called sanctification, folks. And sometimes the Lord has to allow pressure to be applied to the life that we call a temptation, and that's a good word for it, but pressure, temptation, however you want to go about it. But nonetheless, it is there to show us what is still in our lives that ought not to be in our lives. Now, given the right set of circumstances, you'd be surprised what will show up in your life. What do I mean by the right set of circumstances? Pressure. Pressure. Temptation. Pressure and temptation. Those two things will show you, reveal to you what is still in your life that should not be life. You see, there's things in your life just waiting to be activated by an unclean spirit. They want to elicit a response from you. They want to elicit a reaction from you. And understand this. Sanctification requires dying to self. Dying to self. You have to die to self. How's it done? Bob, how do I die to self? Well, you have to reckon yourself dead to sin. You have to reckon yourself dead to sin. Sin shall not have dominion over you. You've got to claim the Word of God. It may not have dominion, but it will still be a part of your life. But it doesn't have to control your life. Understand the difference. Sin will be a part of your life until you die and go to glory. But sin does not have to control your life. And too many of God's people permit sin, an element of sin, a reaction in their life or an action in their life to control their life. So you have to reckon yourself dead to sin. Satan comes at you with a temptation. I don't have to respond to that. I don't have to respond to that. I'm dead to sin. Word of God says I'm dead to sin. So I don't have to respond. You see, you're responsible for your reaction. You're responsible for your response to sin. So you got to reckon yourself dead to sin. That is why you need the enablement and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. You need, my friend, you need the enablement and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit of God. Understand. Understand this about yourself. The big I doesn't die easily. The big I does not die easily. Every day of the world, you should be able to say with Paul, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Every day of our life, me, you, we should be able to say with Paul, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, which loved me and gave himself for me. In Romans 6:11, the Word of God says, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Reckon ourselves to be dead to sin? Accept the fact, I'm crucified with Christ. I'm co-crucified with Christ. I do not have to give in to that temptation. I will many times, but I don't have to. If I remain spirit sensitive, remain spirit filled, then I don't have to, but I'm going to because I'm in a human body. And I'm still coming through a process of sanctification just as you are. We're all coming through a process, the process of sanctification, which is why we still react and respond at times in ways we should not. In Galatians 2:20, once again, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I live, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Child of God, understand this. You have access to your Heavenly Father. I don't care what Satan introduces into your life. When you trip, fall, stumble, you have access to your Heavenly Father. You have access to the throne of God. So when you trip, when you fall, when you mess up, when you blow it, run to the throne. You've got access to the throne of God. Run to the throne of God. Say, Father, I blew it. I blew it, Father. I sinned. That response was wrong. That reaction was wrong. That action was wrong. Father, I blew it. Just call it what God calls it. Call it sin. And receive the forgiveness. He says once you confess it, he'll forget it. You won't forget it. But he has promised he will forget it. Utilize, listen to me as I close this, utilize that God-given right and walk in victory in this new year, okay? Recognize, utilize, both recognize and utilize that God-given right to come into his very presence with everything that's bothering you, bugging you, every failure, every flaw, every sin. Take it to him. Lay it on the cross. Let it die in Christ Jesus. Utilize that God-given right you've got. Walk in victory in this new year. Heavenly Father, Father God, I ask you in the name of Jesus to take this message and somehow encourage and strengthen your people. Encourage and strengthen your people in 2025 to be all they can be for you, to be light wherever they live, wherever they work, wherever they go, to be salt, to be a preservative in the society of this nation, by living a Christ-honoring, Christ-filled life and a life spent in time on their knees, holding this nation up before the throne of God in prayer. Father, the church, purge the church, purify the church, cleanse the church, and Father, those who have been deceived into thinking they're right with you, where they're not right with you, reveal to them they are not right with you, bring them out of that system of religion that would deceive them, and bring them into the family of God as a child of God, loved of God, born again, adopted into the family of God, and made a believer priest. So that way, then they too can advance the kingdom of God through lifestyle and prayer. And Father, if you'll do this, we'll give you all the honor, praise, and glory in Jesus' name. We pray and ask it. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. All right, go out now and have a Christ-honoring, Spirit-filled New Year. Be blessed.